Good morning and welcome to our morning service, to both the congregation and to our fellow members who are worshipping online with Zoom. We appreciate the reasons why they are doing so, but we look forward to a day when we can welcome them back into our midst in the church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Francis Robertson. I am the session clerk, a member of the worship team, and also an ambassador for the children's Christian charity World Vision, which will actually feature later as part of my sermon. Three intimations this morning. The first is you may have arrived anticipating a different layout to the church. Yes, there has been a move to level zero and to 1 meter physical distancing. We have undertaken the necessary survey and the calculations, which would raise our numbers to round about 94, but as the demand at present does not dictate the need for this change, we have not gone ahead. We anticipate there could be another change on the 9th of August, and on the 11th of August we have our session meeting, which has to make a decision and then submit that decision to Presbytery. So, as they always say, the data was leading the dates. Our numbers do not demand us to change at this present time, and so we have remained at the 2 meter social distancing. I have an update regarding Amos in the Cameroon. His father's life was celebrated and he was laid to rest a week past Friday. Both he and Florence have moved from the village to a safe area and are staying with his elder sister and husband in Bua, from where they will be attending the marriage signing ceremony of his sister's brother-in-law in Douala. They are looking forward to their return to Scotland to be reunited with both their own family and ourselves, the church family, and Amos asked me to convey his greetings to you all. Finally, a necessary piece of housekeeping. Can I ask that all mobile phones either be turned to airplane mode, Wi-Fi disabled, or, if you'd rather, just switch it off? It interferes with our communication signal. Thank you. Let us listen to our call to worship. God has set this day before us, a day set apart, a day of rest, a day of praise. God has set our lives before us, a span of years in which we grow, we learn, and serve. God has set all we need before us, held in trust, to be shared for the benefit of all humankind. God has set his seal upon our hearts so that we might remain in him and worship him in love, for he is worthy of our praise. Let us therefore join together to worship our God in praise as we sing our first hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, drawn by the power of your welcoming love. We come with our sorrows and our joys, with our expectations and our concerns, with our successes and our failures. We come as we are, not in pretense, but as you alone know us. In your love, we find peace and hope. In your love, we find acceptance and reassurance. Make yourself known to us this day and remain ever present in our lives. Gracious God, we are sorry that at times our love for you falters when we select the wrong priorities and overlook your guidance. Loving Saviour, we are sorry that we disobey your commandments, that we fail to love as you loved and walk by on the other side. We put self before service and gain before sharing. O God, forgive us and renew us. Spirit of truth, we are sorry when we disregard your presence, that our thoughts and feelings are unrighteous, that we succumb to temptation and prefer to follow the world's way. May your presence work within us and lead us in the right way. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Redeemer, who taught us all to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We come to church seeking to know more about Jesus. Let us continue in that search as we turn to our second hymn, All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon.
Thank you. Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 15, reading verses 7 to 11. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for cancelling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. And our New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 19, reading verses 16 to 22. Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. Let's join together in our next hymn, "Son of God, Eternal Saviour."
Thank you.
Lord, as you have lived for others, so may we for others live. Freely have your gifts been granted. Freely may your servants give. Yours the gold and yours the silver. Yours the wealth of sea and land. We but stewards of your bounty, held in trust at your command. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditations of our hearts be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Several years ago, in her latter days, my 95-year-old Aunt Chris, a stalwart elder in her church in Springfield, presented me with a Bible. Not a new modern edition in gleaming leather with fresh, clean pages, but rather a tatty, well-used version that had been returned by a family member from the United States of America. The inscription on the inside reads, "To Father and Mother, from their daughter, Betsy Robertson, May 15th, 1910. Betsy, born in 1878, was in fact the 13th of 18 children born to my great-grandparents, Charles and Margaret Robertson. My grandfather, born in 1890, was the youngest and 18th child, which I suppose is the reason why most of our family social events seemed more like clan gatherings. Every now and again, I enjoy thumbing through this old copy of the King James Version of the Bible, thinking of my predecessors seeking spiritual guidance and doing likewise. You see, this was the translation that I grew up with, both in this church and in the Sunday school. And not forgetting the endless hours of study spent ahead of a boys' brigade battalion, district, or national Bible quiz under the tutorage of the Reverend Alex McLean. Beyond the old-fashioned, sometimes awkward language, the mix of the these and the thous, the hences and the hithers, one word continually stood out for me, and that word was charity. As a child, I initially understood it to mean not getting something for nothing, as I often remember my father's response when I asked for some more pocket money. More pocket money? How do you expect to get that? Do you think I'm a charity? A response delivered in a manner befitting Mr. Bumble when dealing with Oliver Twist in his attempt to receive a little more gruel in the workhouse. But charity, I soon learnt, is more than just a word or expectation. It is an action, and more about giving than receiving. As I witness for myself, as we members of the Boys' Brigade in the mid-60s were involved in distributing food and gifts around some of the poorer quarters of Dundee on Christmas Eve. The sheer delight exhibited by the recipients in the doorways of their dark tenement closes was reciprocated by a warm, glowing feeling inside that good had been done, and that you had played a small part in this charitable Christian act. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, in the King James Version, reads, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, in more modern translations, the term is commonly replaced by the word love. The same verse in the popular New International Version reads, And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It comes as no surprise, therefore, to discover that both translated words, charity and love, are derived from the same Greek root, agape, which can be broken down into the prefix a, which means not, and gapi, which, as its pronunciation suggests in English, a gap. So, without a gap. Together, they give the idea or a relationship or love that is without any gaps. It is comprehensive, it is complete, and it is unconditional. Where we have one word, love, the New Testament, which was originally written in Greek, had four words. If they were wanting to express love in a passionate, romantic, or sensual manner, they would use the word eros. If they were speaking of a friendship type of love, they would use the word filio. If they were wanting to talk about love among family members or refer to the type of love that shows strong loyalties or bonds, they would use the word storge. Agape, however, was the word reserved to identify love that was selflessly committed to the well-being or the benefit of another, be they friend, neighbour, or stranger. Agape love isn't born out of emotions, feelings, familiarity, or attraction, but from the will and as a choice made by an individual. A closer examination on the occurrence of these two terms, love and charity, within the biblical text, indicates that the two terms can, however, be distinguished through the context in which they appear. In fact, in the King James Version of the Bible, agape is translated as charity 27 times, as dear once, and as love on 86 occasions within the New Testament. When the word agape is used specifically in the context of vertical action, that is God towards man and man towards God, it is translated as love. However, when the word agape is used in the context of horizontal actions, that is man towards friend, neighbor, or stranger, it is translated as charity. So we have a clear distinction. Love, vertical, to and from God. Charity, horizontal, from man to fellow man. These respective actions remind us of the shape of the cross. The vertical aspect acknowledges the sovereignty of God in heaven above, the influence over all creation, and the channel for our prayers and our praise. The horizontal action reminds us of Christ's arms spread out to bless his followers, to heal the sick, to share his compassion with the poor and the displaced, and ultimately on the cross, spread out for our eternal salvation. Throughout his life on earth, Christ undoubtedly showed charity towards his fellow beings. Tangible acts of loving kindness toward all others in unconditional and self-sacrificial ways. We must be generous in our giving to the needs of others. If we possess the means, financial or otherwise, to be such a blessing. For in giving, we receive far more than we ever spend. Charity, however, need not always be in the form of money or what we would consider a typically charitable act through sponsorship and fundraising in our modern-day society. When Peter and John met a crippled beggar, rather than give the man coins, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Similarly, God's instructions in Deuteronomy set the example for charitable giving amongst the Israelites. When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fearless and the widow, so that your God may bless all the work of your hands. The primary thing to remember in charity is that all we have belongs to God, and all we give is in response to his love for us. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. So charity is the sharing or giving of whatever resources, talents, time, experience, money we ourselves have been gifted in order that we can meet the needs of others. One great proponent of sharing and giving was the philanthropist Andrew Carnegie, who from poor beginnings in Dunfermline made his millions in the American steel industry, believing that the wealthy were responsible for the recirculation of their money back into society, where it could be used to support the greater good. Living by his belief that the man who dies rich dies disgraced. Incidentally, it was this belief that brought him to Christianity and into membership of the Presbyterian Church later in his life. You see, God has a way of multiplying our acts of charity. The early church knew this and practiced it. We need to become that church. We need to become such a people. We do not need to line our church walls with gold and silver, build up excessive balances in our church bank accounts, but we do need to meet the needs of others, such as lining the bellies of little children with food and covering their bodies with clothes. We can also ensure a stable environment, provide basic health care and an education for them. And with this provision can come unlimited opportunities and a worthwhile future. But most importantly, they need to hear about Jesus and witness his followers. That's you and me. Serving alongside in our communities, demonstrating his charitable love through loving actions. This is precisely what the Christian charity, the Children's Christian Charity, World Vision, do throughout the world, actively tackling poverty at its roots, so every child can grow into what or who God created them to be. World Vision has over 70 years of experience working with communities, donors, partners, and government, serving alongside the poor and oppressed as a demonstration of God's unconditional love, agape, for all people. Their approach empowers communities and guides them to set their own goals, then equips them so progress that is made is sustained, continued, long after the project terminates. Just as the Sunday school children of this church have learnt through their sponsorship of Rimberto, a young boy in Bolivia. Linda and I have sponsored children for over 20 years, and I've had the privilege of being an ambassador for the charity for the past 12 years. And Linda and I have seen at first hand the transformational work in the Kayesi district of northern Malawi, one of the most isolated communities in one of the poorest countries in the world. Through individual child sponsorship, the entire community benefit from the provision of water, the digging of boreholes, the provision of clean running water, the installation of hand pumps, toilets, and effective sanitation systems. Healthcare, the introduction of healthcare provision, pre- and postnatal care, immunisation programmes, malaria prevention, and the treatment and the building and staffing of community health centres. Ladies in our midst, how would you fancy 47 kilometres on the back of a bicycle? I forgot to mention the fact that you're 9 months pregnant. That, to many, is the only option if there is an anticipation of an issue. They have to take them to a health centre. The village we visited was 47 kilometres away. Now, thankfully, that village has its very own fully maintained and staffed health centre. We support educational resources, including the provision of teacher training and support worker programmes. The curriculum is interesting and varied. They study Chichewa, their native language, and English, mathematics, science, whilst also attending to the church garden, grounds, and the neighbouring fields. Certainly a very much a hands-on education. The lower portion of the slide shows what is known as a reading club. Now, children get up in the morning and they're at school by 7 before the sun really gets up. And for the majority, they will have one of the only meals of the day. And again, this church can bear recognition to this fact, having sponsored school meals in Malawi at Gwengweri. They then will work through till 1 o'clock. And that is the end of the school day. So the hottest part of the day, they make their way home. At 2 o'clock, there is the optional provision of a reading club where you can come along and enhance your English and reading and communication skills. Now, I wonder what sort of response we would get with that option in this country. It's 100%. Nearly every child goes back in the afternoon for that additional 2 hours of tuition. And that was the break when we visited. The next slide. Agricultural is so essential. And so World Vision is involved in promoting self-sufficiency through irrigation, agrarian reform, animal husbandry, and the introduction of drought-resistant crops and beneficial cash crops to generate a sustainable family income. Groundnuts or peanuts, coffee and tobacco are three of those crops that they can genuinely trade. Up until that point, it was purely subsistence. And if they had extra, it maybe fed the animals, or it was maybe just put to the side and rotted. So in a good year, food would go to waste. But sadly, 2 out of every 3 years, they get poor harvest, and they require the supplement to be supplemented. And the next slide, nutritional campaigns. We were taken out to see a group who work with mothers throughout the community, and they are looking to improve the development of the child to combat disease and any potential ravages of famine. And this slide shows members of our visiting group taking it in turns to stir what is a porridge made from milled corn, soy, bananas, and tomatoes. And boy, as we can see from the top right-hand corner, did it go down well with the children. And I can also add, it went down well with Linda. She thoroughly enjoyed it. The head man of the village made Linda take some of the porridge to prove it was good. So, World Vision on the next slide. It has a significant global footprint. It's working in over 100 countries. There are 200 million children directly involved in any of the projects. And it is not just World Vision UK. There is World Vision USA, World Vision Europe, World Vision Australia, World Vision New Zealand. But they all coordinate their activities together. And it's not just working on the ground. They have built up disaster emergency centres around the world. So quite often they are one of the first to be on site with essential materials. And certainly because of their ethos of promoting sustainable development, often the last to leave, and possibly 5 to 7 years after the event. But it also lobbies politicians and ministers at all levels of government to influence policy changes for the protection and the well-being of children. So what I'd like to do now is, let's take a little quick look, a short video, of the ongoing benefits of sharing. As we meet Amos, a 7-year-old boy from Malawi, who is part of a World Vision sponsorship scheme. Like World Vision, we as individuals and as a church need to be active where there is a need in our community and elsewhere. Because our God is in the business of doing great things with our sacrificial gifts. This morning, we have to consider these questions. Have we given to the point that it represented a real sacrifice? Was it a gift that truly cost us something? God's gift to humankind cost everything. His one and only Son represents the ultimate gift. From our reading earlier from Sheila, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. When we see our resources not only as God's provision for us, but as tools he desires us to use to care for others, then, and only then, do we begin to understand the vastness of his love and sovereignty. Again, from our reading from Matthew, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Agape love, as charity, should remind us of Christ's arms spread out to bless his followers, to heal the sick, to share his compassion with the poor and the displaced. And ultimately, on the cross, spread out for our eternal salvation. And how should we respond? When we care for those he loves, we care for him. Give, and it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, and poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Luke chapter 6. Verse 38, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, always allow us to serve others with a joyful heart, never keeping account, always giving, never expecting to receive. Allow us to give of ourselves, to give of our talents and our possessions, to give of our time and our energy, to give of our heart and our souls. Help us understand the needs of others, never criticizing, never demeaning, never scolding, never condemning. You have been so gracious to us, always loving, always forgiving, always restoring, never gloating over our defeats, even when we have been so wrong. Father, keep a condemning spirit far from our heart and further from our lips. Allow us to serve others as you serve, with gentleness, compassion and tenderness, never diminishing the worth of another, choosing to extend mercy to the brokenhearted, like you have repeatedly shown to us, our Creator and our Sustainer. Amen. We continue our service by singing our fourth hymn, "Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness." let us offer up our prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, our hearts overflow with thanks for all that you have provided in our lives. You are infinitely good to us. Accept our offerings today to use in the furtherance of your kingdom, both here in North Fife and elsewhere in the world, where you discern the needs are greatest. Amen. Let us bring before God our prayers of intercession for ourselves, our community, the church, and the world. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our God, we are thankful that you are constantly at work in our lives. You are a help in times of difficulty, a strength in times of weakness, a guide when we feel lost and alone. We know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have the power to transform lives, to mend broken relationships, to bring strength to the weary and hope to the brokenhearted. So we bring our worries and our burdens, our hopes and our dreams before your throne of grace, knowing that you are the Lord of our lives and the hope of the world. Lord, we thank you for the riches and diversity of each individual gathered here in church and worshipping online with us today. For our many differences in appearances, ability, and attitude that corporately complement each other and make up the body of Christ here on earth. We pray that we will continue to be filled with your living breath and bear witness to your majesty and glory to a lost, searching, and unsettled world. We thank you for the beauty and the variety of landscapes and cultures, flora and fauna, for seascapes and the wideness of space. Teach us, Lord, to cherish and respect this planet we inhabit, to minimize waste, reduce pollution, and conserve threatened species and environments. We pray at this time, Lord, for the victims of the recent flooding in Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands. Comfort them all in their devastating loss. Lord, these climate anomalies highlight the effects of global warming, and we pray for the governments of the world to acknowledge their part in this ensuing catastrophe and to prepare their response plans ahead of the global summit on climate change in Glasgow. As brothers and sisters, with the whole of your creation, we pray for respect and reverence among people, regardless of wealth or status, and for the responsible sharing of resources. Sadly, Lord, we are compelled to pray for areas of our world which are torn apart and fragmented, where people cannot live harmoniously with their neighbours. We pray for countries laid waste by civil war, conflict, and dictatorship, where civilians have been caught up between the warring factions and forced from their homes to seek refuge in another land. We remember especially the plight of the people in Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, South Sudan, the Yemen, the Cameroon, and in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Dear Lord, bring hope to the children and families who have lost everything through conflict and displacement. May they find peace in you and courage to rebuild their lives, their communities, and their country. Guide their leaders to resolve tensions, embrace differences, and work towards an everlasting peace. We ask your blessing upon medical workers, charities and aid agencies whose task it is to feed the hungry, heal the sick, and support the brokenhearted within these lands. Encourage us, Lord, to respond generously to appeals made on their behalf, to commit a portion of our God-given wealth to those less fortunate than ourselves, who through no fault of their own, other than the geography of their birth, are caught up in such upheaval and unrest. Lord, we pray for your church here in Newport-on-Tay, for our minister Amos, Florence, and the family, for the richness of his talents and his commitment to share our vision in this place. At this time, we pray for the wider family as Amos and Florence remain with them in the Cameroon, having attended the funeral of Amos's father last week, and as they prepare to travel home next weekend. Lord, we thank you for all who commit to the work of this church and the furtherance of your kingdom here in North Fife. For the worship team, the Kirk Session and its office bearers, our youth worker Chris, our organist and choir mistress Hannah, our readers, Diane, Morag, and the management team and volunteers in Mana, our cleaners, and those who tend our gardens. Lord, we gladly acknowledge all the gifts and talents you have given us. May we continue to use them to bear witness to your unconditional and everlasting love within our community. Grant us your help, guidance and support, Lord, as we too have problems and needs and concerns, worries about our families, our friends, and those we love. And in a moment of silence, Lord, we bring our petitions before you. We remember in our prayers today those who are worried about their health and what the future might hold, those who feel anxious or depressed or afraid, those who are in hospital or await a consultation or a test result, those with burdens they find impossible to share, those who still mourn the loss of someone dear to their heart. Lord, comfort and console them all. And we pray for ourselves, that we might know the gentle authority of Jesus in all parts of our lives, leading us, guiding us, encouraging and directing us, now and always. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us bring our service to a close as we sing our final hymn, God the Father of Creation. As people of faith, we now return to the world. Let us go out into the community and share the story of our faith. Let us selflessly demonstrate agape love, sharing our possessions, our time, and our talents to the benefit of others. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.